And of course, we have mothers here as well. The Lord bless you. It'd be good to spend a moment and some time before we finish this service this morning just to remember and give thanks for our mothers. Hallelujah. Mothers are very special people. Hallelujah. Remember that statement? It's not in the Bible, but you might as well. It could easily have been, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, because of the tremendous influence that mothers have on their children and how the seeds of their future can be sown through the mother's love and through the mother's prayers. Amen. So bless the Lord. What an amazing thing. I think of my own wife and what a blessing has been that each of our three children love the Lord with all their hearts and are serving the Lord in their own ways. But each one of them was brought to the Lord through, she led them to the Lord, each one. I remember Paul, who's now such a powerful character, as well as John. I remember Paul saying to Jill one time, he said, "Mummy, I want Jesus in here, to live in here like he's living in you." He saw something in her, and so she was glad to be able to lead him to open his heart to the Lord, which he did. And has, you know, just gone from faith to faith ever since, as the others have. It doesn't mean to say everything's been easy, but the fact of the matter is that they love the Lord and they know he loves them. And that's a huge prayer. No mother can ask for more than that. Well, I can ask more, but I say that really is pretty much the most wonderful thing, to know that your children walk before the Lord. And it's something always to pray if they're not there yet, they're on their journey. Amen. I want to, honour, of course, is a great thing. We're talking about honouring. The whole thing of Mother's Day was brought about in order to, brought about in America in about somewhere around 1908, but I think Woodrow Wilson, one of the American presidents, authorized it and regularized it and made it official, I think in 1980, and whereby mothers were to be honored. Before that, it had gone way back in our own country to the 16th century, where on the third week of Lent, you know, servants and people in the big houses and in any sort of service kind of contract, they would be allowed a day off to go and visit their mother church where they were baptized, whatever. And so it was a day of freedom. And a day to be looked at. Their lives weren't easy, but it was a day of freedom and a day to be looked forward to and rejoiced in and celebrated. And then, of course, that lasted for years. And then when the American thing came over, it changed from going back to your church where you were baptized or christened in to actually honoring your own mother, the person. And it really took off from there. Altered to extend our own celebration of it in this country. Anyway, the essence of it all is honour. And that is something which is so lacking in our society, in our culture today. You see, the Bible is big about honour and about respect. Respect for God, respect for life, respect for people, respect for the land, etc., etc. Respect for your employers, respect for one another. It's massive. And actually in the fifth commandment, the fifth of the Ten Commandments, right at the beginning when these commands were given, is the first commandment with a promise. In fact, none of the other Ten Commandments carry a promise with it other than this one, which says that honour your father and mother, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. That's a powerful promise to take hold of. We need to know how to get hold of the promises of God. When we read things like that, that is a promise to say, Father, thank you. I'm honouring my mum and dad. And I just thank you, Father, for your promise that life will go well for me and that I'll live long in the land. Praise the Lord. And, you know, when our lives get threatened with sickness and whatever or any other challenges, it's good to take hold of the promises of God. Because the sword of the Spirit, which is the only weapon in your spiritual armor, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You notice how Jesus defeated the devil by saying, it is written, that the three temptations, the three challenges that the devil brought to Jesus, and he took them from the scripture, taking it out of context. And Jesus said, countered him on each one by saying, it is written. And so the devil had to back off. There's power in the written word. And when you're taking your stand, and remember, if we're challenged with something in our life, whether it's sickness or finance or relationship, and to declare in our praying, it is written. That's such a powerful thing to say ahead of you quoting the Word of God. So the Word of God, as we know, is sharp and active. It's alive and active, sharp and divides to the division of soul and spirit. So it goes right into the inside of us and can cut out and defeat the enemy in our lives. Powerful, powerful stuff. They're simple things to learn, but believe me, they're basic and they're powerful to take hold of that sword of the Spirit and proclaim it. And that proclamation of God's word has powerful effects. Amen. So let's remember that, first of all, to honour our father and mother, it's big in the scriptures. And it's so important for us to take that to take it in hand. And now I thought this morning as I would read a portion from 1 Samuel, because the Bible, as I've said here, mothers are amazing, and it's wonderful to have a mother, or to be a mother, or to have a mother, or a grandmother who is big in faith, who is strong in faith. And because to have someone praying for you like that is an awesome thing. And mums always pray for their children. And to have a woman that knows what it is to pray and stand on the word of God and believe the promises of God for her children is a most wonderful thing. Mothers have huge influence. I mean, just as an aside, it always staggers me when Jill and I enjoy watching these cooking programs, whatever, and sometimes you get the background. They ask the questions sometimes of these top chefs and say, how did it all start for you? And do you know, 9 times out of 10, it started, their answer will be, well, my mother did this, or my grandmother taught me to cook, and I used to stand by and watch her, and then she'd show me how to do it. And so mums, grandmums, it's an amazing influence that you have. Never demean it. So let's just take a portion of scripture from 1 Samuel, where it starts off with the birth of Samuel. Remember, Samuel was a mighty prophet. It says the Lord never let one word of his fall to the ground. This was powerful. And so people were afraid of him because they knew that when Samuel spoke, things happened. And he spoke on behalf of God. So I'm just going to read this. There's a certain man from, this is from 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. That was part of the culture in those days. And he had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, who was the priest in charge there, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. For mums or children, for wives who long for a child, you know, to read things like this, the Lord had closed the womb, it's very difficult to understand. But all we can say is this, that God knows what he's doing and the times and seasons are in his hand. And we have wonderful promises for us to take hold of and take a stand on in the scriptures to give us breakthrough and encouragement in no matter any situation we are facing. God has a promise for you. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival, Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So Hannah lived in a state of distress over this lack of a child. And, but she wouldn't give up. She wouldn't give up praying. And this is the most important thing. She knew who to go to with her problem. And she would not give up. The Bible is so big on perseverance in every way, particularly perseverance in prayer. And Elkanah, her husband, would say to Hannah, "Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, the place of, where the priest was, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord," she's getting very desperate by this time, but she says, "Lord, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head." She was taking that vow. And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." You've got to remember, Eli really, by this time, he was going to be disciplined. He'd lost it. He was still a priest in the house of the Lord. But his discernment, as you can see here, was way off beam. And he had no insight into the fact that Hannah was praying her heart out to the Lord and accused her of being drunk. But there's an amazing thing about offices. I just say this in passing. There's an amazing thing about offices in the church of God. There is an authority that comes with an office, like the office of an elder or a leader, you know. And even though you can miss it sometimes and whatever, he says the gifts of God are without repentance and they stay with you. If one time you have gone to the Lord and you've sought the Lord and you've broken through and God has blessed you with gifts of the Spirit and whatever, you know, he won't take that away. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's an amazing statement. And so here, even though Eli had really missed it and his sons were way off beam in their attitudes to the people of God, and Eli was going to be severely disciplined by the Lord for the way that he'd conducted himself. Nevertheless, he was a priest, and that calling was on him, and that and there was authority in what he said. So even though he misunderstood Hannah, when he turned to her and said, after Hannah had said, "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied, "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, he must have been a bit rebuked, but he answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him." So even though he was out of order in what he had said to her before and was not living right before the Lord, nevertheless, as a priest of the Most High God, his words had power and carried authority. And so Hannah says, she said, "May your servant," response was, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." She was very gracious. Then she went on her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Hannah had received. Her faith had laid hold of what the priest had said, and she was now looking to the Lord. And all of a sudden, all her depression, everything, when the word of God comes alive, when faith comes alive in your heart, it lifts you and changes you and gives you a whole new outlook concerning the future. So it says and her face was no longer downcast. She had a hope. She had a sense of confidence in the future. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. In other words, she conceived. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And Samuel in the Hebrew means heard of God. Praise the Lord. What a mother she became. And of course, when the boy had been weaned, she took him along to Eli. And he lived where Eli was. And of course, we come to that beautiful story when, as a youngster, the Lord begins to call him because he's remembering Hannah's vow that he would give him to the Lord, which she has done. She brought him along. She followed through on her promise. It's so important when we make promises to the Lord in times of distress and whatever, or at times of great challenge, and we're crying out to God, and we say, "Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do thus and so. I've been there, believe me. But I have remembered to make good on my promise," because God remembers promises, and it's important. He's a promise-keeping God, and he expects us to be like him as well. So this is awesome. So it's a wonderful thing with Hannah. We know that she knew where to go. That's a great thing. A mum, like a good mum, in times of challenge, knows where to go. She knew to go to the Lord. She knew that though she was walking through a very difficult time, and it seemed that all that she had prayed, there seemed to be no change. Yet she still would not give up. And so she just came to the Lord and poured out her heart in prayer. I want to tell you, that is big with God. And to have a praying mum, or to be a praying mum, the prayers of a mother are powerful and they're heard of God. Be encouraged in that for your children. Amen. And so she knew where to go. And then, of course, when she got that hold of that promise through the priest, she took hold of it and she believed. And it's the most wonderful thing to have a mother who believes. A good mother believes. Amen. Remember how that the prophet was it said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, he said, "Blessed," or was it Elizabeth who said that? But anyway, it was said, Mary received that word, this wonderful statement, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has promised her will come." There's a huge blessing to believing. And we know from Hebrews 6 that whoever seeks God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's take these massive building blocks in our faith and our life with God to heart. Because just as Mary believed, so it was to her. And as it was to Hannah, she believed. And so the promise became real. Praise the Lord. So let's, time has gone. There's just a short message today. But I just wanted to encourage you with the fact that when you've got things that are challenging you, be a prayer, and be a prayer who does not give up. Remember the words of Jesus, the very Son of God himself, in Matthew 7:7. He says this. Let me turn to it so I get the exact thing right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It's this great prayer promise. But remember who's saying it. It's Jesus. These are, if you've got a Bible that has the words of Jesus in it, these are words in red. In other words, take note of them. He says this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking. This is in the present continuous text. So it's ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you so that you will break through. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. And he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Praise the Lord. These are solid promises from the Son of God himself. So let's take these things to heart this morning. And let's just pray. Let's just give thanks to the Lord for our own mothers, for our family, and just let him know we're thankful. I want to just let you have a few moments of quietness as we just give our thanks and praise to the Lord for his blessing in our life through our mothers and through us having the privilege of being a mother, if that is your position. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you.